Rick's not here. His wife's been in the hospital. Chuck, you want to start us with a prayer?
Sure. We pray. Father, as we give you our attention, we love you and thanks for opportunity to serve our county. Pray your blessing on each one that's leading in all the different ways. Pray for safety and wisdom for those, especially those that are out there on the roads, on the way, and different things. Again, Lord, we pray for our commissioners as they lead this county and make decisions that you give them the wisdom. They hear your voice clearly, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Williams, do you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll call to order the Taney County Commission meeting Tuesday, August 28, 2018 at 1:32 p.m. Any commission remarks? Approval of accounts payable.
Move to approve accounts. Our checks numbers 451277 through 451350. Warrants 7049 and 4 journal entry or transfers.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of previous meeting minutes for August 20th, 2018, regular meeting minutes and executive session minutes.
Move to approve executive session minutes dated August 20th, 2018.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Move to approve regular session minutes dated August 20th, 2018.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Bid recommendations for roof repairs, hail damage.
Thank you, Commissioners. This is in reference to bid number 201808-415 as a result of the hailstorm we had on May 31st. Extensive roof damages that were determined by building and grounds resulted in a directive to me to put this out for bid. These repairs, this bid closed yesterday. And despite newspaper advertising and direct email bid invitations to multiple roofing vendors, we only received one bid response package after opening that response package from the company known as Advantage Roofing of Walnut Grove, Missouri, who had done the previous inspection and was fully qualified to participate in this bid. Initial details were noted by Building and Grounds Supervisors Renee Brushka, Scott Terpening, and myself. Those results were for an estimate, the actual bid dollar amount to repair the Conklin materials came in at $67,000 even. To repair the hail damage areas requiring on the steel roofing, the total there is $41,160, which I have given each of you a copy of this report so you can follow along with me. And on the hail damage to the asphalt shingles, the estimate was $6,880. That's a grand total of $115,040. Now, for clarification, the repair to the steel roofing does not entail any replacement of those sheets of steel, but the damage was extensive enough to the seams and to the fasteners to where The estimate includes repairing all of those seam fasteners and also coating the steel roofing to prevent leakage. We don't have extensive leakage at this point in time. If we don't begin these repairs as soon as possible, we will. After complete and thorough review by Building and Grounds staff members of all of the other details of the bid response package, we found them, that package and response, to be fully qualified, and it includes structured pricing consistent with or below the insurance repair authorizations. Therefore, we recommend Advantage Roofing in Walnut Grove, Missouri for this bid as the overall best choice for Taney County, Missouri, and ask for a motion vote from the Taney County Commission to award as such. We also ask for additional approval to authorize repair work to begin immediately or as soon as possible, and any subsequent agreement will expire upon satisfactory completion of all this repair work. Do you have any questions? Scott's here to assist with any details or other additional questions that you might have.
Tell me what Conklin Materials, what is that?
It's what we already have on our roof. It's somewhat of a styrofoam with a coating on top of it, a spray, and it's this hail had beat down, and it's some of it's that deep into the flesh itself. He wants to lay a complete new layer of that on top of the building.
And this company is the one that originally installed Conklin years ago, so they're familiar with it and they're authorized to use that material, certified.
Does it act as a insulation or something as well?
Yeah. The reason why that a lot of people are going to that TPO now, but we couldn't afford to go the route we're going because they'd have to tear all that off, and it don't adhere good to the metal, and that's what's below it. So.
Move to award bid number 201808-415 to Advantage Roofing of Walnut Grove, Missouri.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I will notify the vendor and send the contract draft to legal.
I say this last part that says we ask additional approval to authorize said repair work to begin as soon as possible. We won't do anything until we have a contract.
Well, so the reason I put that in there is because of the urgency of the matter. That
legally, we can't pay anything without there being a contract.
Okay. So the contract draft's ready to go. I'm going to send it to Shanna.
That's what I mean. Yeah, just have Shanna get it through Travis, and we'll get it. Well, we'll expedite it, but just make sure we have a contract before they start any work.
Thank you, sir.
Insurance update, property values with Aulis Acres and Arnie. And then Aulis Acres and Arnie claims review and renewal planning.
Did you guys plan this to go back to back?
We did not.
Well, I was talking about the roof repair, hail damage.
No.
But you were talking about the property value, the insurance update for both.
Huh. Okay. Kind of hard to do this, but this one's a little easier.
You better give that to him. I can still see pretty good.
Thank you, Commissioner, for your time. Well, our purpose today is to just review our findings on replacement cost appraisals for the properties of the county. And what we've done here is we've provided a spreadsheet that has the description of the property, the total square footage, the insured value as we have it today, and what that breaks down from a cost per square foot. And then we have a program that we use that works based off of zip code and the area that you're in, and it gives us a replacement cost, which would include materials, labor, architectural fees, overhead, that type of thing. So our clause in our insurance policy says we need to be within 115% of the replacement cost one way or the other, and we are in total within those parameters. What our concern is, or what we'd like to talk about, is some of the buildings are outside of those parameters. We've talked with Dawn, and we've gotten some of those that we had insured values on that were actual new cost construction within the last 12 months. And we're okay using those. And those line up pretty well with what our estimates are. There are some others in some of the other buildings, some of the pavilions, some of the shop buildings, where the county was blessed to have some materials donated or have their own people do the labor, and that wasn't factored into what the replacement cost would be. So when they went on the policy, they went on at the cost. However, if something were to happen to that particular building, then the replacement cost would be much higher than what it cost the first time if you had to bring in a contractor to rebuild it with new materials and clean up the mess.
Is the pole barn one of them?
Pole barn is. There are a couple of pole barns that are in question. The first one is the extension center building. And that house, when you look at a replacement cost on a residence, $166 a foot is kind of a benchmark. We've got it insured at $96 a foot. Well, and we've got that at full replacement cost. So what that says in the contract is that you'll replace it with like kind and quality where it is as it is. Now, on that particular property, you may not want to or have a need to build it back as a house. So there's a couple of the properties on here that fall into that type of scenario where we might want to look at a different type of coverage, like a functional replacement cost where we could replace it at with a different kind of building. So there's some conversation that needs to happen. I know we don't have time here today to go into the details on that, but there are a couple of those. There's some older shop buildings and things like that, but we've got a full replacement cost that are block buildings or have a stone or that type of thing. You probably wouldn't build back in the same type of construction. We can maneuver those around into a functional replacement cost, which the insurance company will allow you to, like I said, build back as a structure that's more functional to what you're going to use it for. There's some of the buildings, like there's a storage building that's Road and Bridge over on 76. It's 2,800 square foot. We have it now at that $10,000 at $3.64 a foot. And that's what it cost for the materials to build that building, because there were some labor that happened that the county used. But the actual cost is going to be closer to $20, $21 a foot to rebuild that storage building. So there's some of those that have a pretty big variance that we need to kind of to look at to make sure that we're in line if something should happen to come through and hit certain buildings. Pavilions are another one. We have all the pavilions covered at $20,000. There's some pavilions that are 500 square feet. There's some that are 2,000 square feet. So we need to just get together and make sure that we have the cost to construct those per square foot, and then we can back into the values. I think some of them may be over, some of them may be under. I think it'll all shake out. But we need to make sure that we're kind of got everybody on the right page there. There are also a few tanks that are designated scrap tanks, or they're just insured for basic, for the scrap value. And we need to address whether the county really wants to insure those or drop them off the policy. Most of the larger buildings and the newer buildings, we feel very comfortable with where our replacement costs come in and where we're insured. And like I said, at the end of the page, when you look at the totals, we're within those parameters that the insurance company requires. So on a blanket basis, we're not really concerned. We just want to make sure that the county is protected on those individual properties that are outside of those parameters. There's a pavilion, I believe, that's under construction right now. No?
Oh, you're touching the casino's park. They're working out where you guys are doing the construction down in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Area.
So we can use some of those new construction values on the pavilions once they're completed we'll get square footage and we can back in and fill on the pavilions.
I think they're about done with that one now.
The bathrooms are about done, but yeah.
So that'll give us a real good indication on the cost per foot there.
On the Cooper Creek Biosol and the centrifuge processors, we have those insured. It's not through the... Would that not be part of the insurance for that facility? And are we, I guess we're paying all that facility? Okay, that's what I was...
Yeah, there's a partnership agreement there.
Right.
Yeah.
It was the Biosolid project. I just want to make sure. Okay.
Yeah, we insure a portion. Yeah.
Okay.
And then there are some significant equipment values that are insured as well, but aren't, this is just building.
Right.
There's a lot of that is the equipment value that's in those locations. So those are insured under this policy as well, but we don't have the contents on there.
Okay.
So really, our purpose today was just to give you some information, update the book. We have a service schedule that we go by that was to be done in September, so we're a little ahead of the game, but we were done with it and wanted to get the counties.
Whenever you guys first took over, I don't know if you were part of it or not. I know Don will probably know better. How much were we underinsured? Because weren't there buildings that... Do you mind coming up? Didn't we have like a basketball court that was like $100,000+ and it should have only been $4,000? But then there was other things.
Site, we had the basketball court valued, and basically it's just a concrete pad, so we didn't need to have it insured besides the liability portion of it. There were a few buildings that were, the extension office being one of them, that was way overvalued by its square foot, and so we reduced that. There were a couple of pavilions that were not insured, so we found that difference and we added those on.
Okay. So, because I know you guys originally was with a different individual, but you guys drove around the county and looked at...
We went to every single building and took pictures and measured every building, yes.
Okay. Had that ever been done before?
Not that I'm aware of.
And our current process is generally every 2 years. If we get it perfect this year, in a couple of years, the material costs might change. We've seen a lot of that with natural disasters last year. So our process is about every 2 years we'll go through, validate the information that we have, and make sure that it's still current. So that's part of the reason we're here today.
Yeah, I just remember whenever you guys first came on as the agent of record or whatever, I knew there was a lot of discrepancies on what was... currently, so mm-hmm. I knew Don worked with, at that time had been Rusty.
It was Rusty,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
I remember you guys.
This book right here originated from 2016.
Okay. Good.
We did. On the older shop buildings and storage buildings that they're referring to, those values that we have, when I spoke to the prior road and bridge administrator, him and I had gone over those values. So those were where those values came from that were insured
okay.
about.
So they came from him because he was the one that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As far as the tanks, he had said to have those valued and stuff.
And I guess we just need to find, because you said something about, do we even use those tanks? Some of them might just be for scrap pricing.
Yeah, there's some of them that are labeled scrap tanks and some of them that aren't even, maybe not even in use.
I can get with Devin and see what the current status of those
are. Okay, that's what I was going to, because like one old gas tank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
if we're not using
described.
It, if we're not using it, why do we need to have it insured? There's no lien anything against
yeah,
it. So what's
mm-hmm. if they're going to be scrapped anyway? There's no need to pay because and most of them are under the deductible. So if they were damaged by themselves,
right.
it wouldn't be anything there anyway. So you're just paying a premium that really we can take some of them off.
Okay,
we just need to identify.
I say, but you don't know what they are. We'd have to tell you what
yeah,
they are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we just need to know which ones.
Okay. Yeah, I just remember the basketball court or the. Mm-hmm. It's like, golly, I think it was it like $114,000?
It was ridiculous, yes.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you guys coming along and working with us to get accurate values. And
then as far as the extension center, I'm not real sure on that. because I think in 2016, after Rusty and I had gone out, I met with the commission, and we kind of looked at those values, and that's what we agreed on. So I'm not sure if we want to go by what their measurements they found in their program or what you guys find best on that.
When you talked about, what'd you call it, as opposed to not necessarily the replacement, but you said there was another...
Yeah, the typical contract's written under a straight replacement cost. So it just says you'll replace, they'll give you the money to replace it with like kind of quality. So you build back a house that looks like that house. Well, if that's not what you want to do, you can elect to take a different type of coverage. It's called functional replacement.
Okay, cost. Functional.
It really explains what it is just in the title. It is a more functional, you can replace it back with something that's more functional to the county.
Okay.
So if you want to build, a two-story building there, if you wanted to build a metal barn there, whatever you, it could be whatever you wanted it to be.
How did we acquire that? I'm assuming that was a house that we purchased during the acquisition for the Judicial Center?
Yep.
Is that how we got that?
I think so.
So that might be something. Is there any other properties you can think of we'd maybe want to look at as a functional replacement?
The ones I kind of targeted off, what I was thinking was there's at Rockaway Beach, there's an old shop building. It's a 2,600 square foot building that we have valued at around $100,000.
Hold on one second. Let me find it.
It's on the second page about...
Rockaway Beach.
Is that the F Highway location?
F and 160. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
And then there's also an older storage building at that location that's valued at right now at $5,000 for a 2,100 square foot building. So that comes at $2.43 per foot. And it's an older, I think it's a block building.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So.
Yeah, we're kind of looking at that area to see what we're going to do there anyway.
And we could sit down and kind of go through the book, and you could identify which ones you wanted to look at, and we could pull those out and give separate pricing for it as well. Oh, I did want to say towards the bottom of the second page, there's under the replacement cost, there's some blank spaces there. That total at the bottom includes the insured value on those blank spaces because we were waiting on the pavilion cost for the new ones to calculate those, and then the KDOT, we were waiting the same thing there. We were waiting on the new ones to get the per square foot cost to calculate those.
And I believe the new transfer station locations have completely been added on, and pictures and stuff have been taken of that already.
Yeah, right. And on the replacement cost of those, we just use the cost because that's...
Roden Bridge provides us the cost to build.
Because that's fully constructed.
You said it was 115%. It's kind of what the requirements are. Yeah, what are we actually at, Tom?
Yeah, the margin, there's something called a margin clause. And they say that they will pay the lesser of the actual amount of the loss, which is good. 115% of the total stated value.
Up to
on any building.
What are we actually at? So I have to do the math.
We're well within that. We're what 120%.
Looks like we're about
100. Something like that. Yeah.
No. 101.
We're under.
Here. What is that? What is that?
Oh, well, I thought maybe you already had the calculation.
No, I did it earlier, and I didn't write it down.
And this margin clause that he's talking about is going to be per location. So, for example, if we have a building that is grossly underinsured, the insurance carrier will pay up to 115% of the limit that we have. So let's just say, for sake of argument, that we've got a $100,000 building and it costs $200,000 to replace, the company will pay $115,000 at a maximum.
Okay. That's why it's important to have each one.
That's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're within 5%.
Yeah, it's 100. It's about 5.4%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, we had no requests as far as anything we need to do at this point except just get the information to you, and then I guess we would request that we know where, what direction you want us to go on some of these buildings that look like they need to be increased or moved to functional replacement cost, and just would ask for some guidance there.
Is that something you care to do again with those guys?
I can take care of it.
Mike, is that all right?
Yep.
Yep.
Because I know you did it last time.
Mm-hmm. So both the extension and the F-Highway buildings, do you...
Just look at the functional replacement, I guess, get costs, and then maybe look at some of the different ones that are... So, for example, the third one down is the Road and Bridge Branson. We have insured at $314,000, but it says replacement cost is $287,000. We may lower that.
Lower those, exactly.
But then raise the... depending upon what you do for functional replacement, both the extension center, we've got $157,000, their same replacement's $269,000, you may raise that one. How do we factor in our labor costs that we...
Well, this program doesn't...
Because you guys wouldn't reimburse us for those costs, would you?
Yeah.
If something were to happen?
Well, it depends on how you built it back. But if you built it back... Have a contractor build it back, that all that cost will be covered, labor and everything.
Right.
There are architectural fees, everything's going to be included there up to the limit and that 15% over.
What if we built it back?
If you built it back, same thing. You get paid the hours that they worked.
Okay, so we would get the reimbursement
So it's your program that actually figures all that in and does that? Then?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just calculates that in, because normally, when there's a big loss that comes through, if there's a tornado or something like that, they're factoring in full employment on contractors. So they're not giving you any discounts. What I'm saying, they're counting it as you're gonna have to go out and get a contractor to do it.
Yeah,
and they're probably gonna have to, do
demolition.
Yeah, demolition, the whole thing.
Okay.
We appreciate your time. If there's any questions that come up that we can answer, always feel free to reach out.
Do you gentlemen mind leaving your names for the record?
Yeah, sure.
Or you just state it now if she can.
Jeff Cronister.
And Derek Richardson.
You might want to spell it on that.
Kind of what?
Nah, just
yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time.
I don't have anything else. No.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Was your call name?
Yep, I did.
Okay, so I'm here to do a review of the health insurance. And I think I'll move chairs because that one's down at the control level. All right. On the right side of your packet is the bigger staple report. And as we've walked through these before, I just wanted to get back to the commission to kind of roll through where we are currently and then some plotting that we've been doing with Dawn and HR. As you can see, the total paid on the medical in the first page just kind of shows where it's going, inpatient, outpatient, so on and so forth, with total claims of $2,356,593. Second page slices and dices it by month. And so you can see that it goes back to August of 17 and then to July of this year. Now, one of the things I definitely wanted to point out to you guys is if you look at the second line down, September of last year, and go over to total paid, it's $589,000 and change. We've asked Cox to hold off on doing our renewal so that number will drop into the prior year. And the reason we do that is because the current year gets weighted at 70% in their renewal calculation, gets weighted in 30% in the prior year. So right off the bat, we can lump 30% off of that number. It's not opportune for HR, but they are willing to, you know, help out and allow for us to get that renewal. If we wait, they should get the numbers will drop on the 10th of October, and then they should get us the renewal shortly thereafter. So I will be coming back to see you guys promptly to go through the renewal, get some guidance from you on what we're going to do. And as I finish up, we'll talk through that process a little bit more. But anyway, that number is important and really the reason why we want to wait on the renewal. Normally, we'd be bringing it to you about now, but we're gonna kick it back about a month and a half to see if we can get those better numbers. The odds certainly are with you to get that number off of the sheet. If you turn the page, this just goes into your prescriptions. Nothing really of importance here other than just to say that it seems pretty consistent and we're not really out of line there. The next page is kind of where the tail of the tape comes in. You have premiums of $2,030,945. Claims are $2,763,518. And that loss ratio is 136.07%. That's the bad news.
Real quick, what page are you on?
I'm on the group premiums received by month.
I've got billed amount and received amount both showing the same number.
That is correct. In other words, they billed and you've paid the same amount.
And what was the actual expenditures?
The claims are $2,763,518.24.
And they said that was 136% loss ratio?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, you do have within your insurance policy anything over $100,000 is cut off and you have multiple claims. So we do receive the benefit to the tune of $409,274.23 is taken out of that number for what's called pooling. So your adjusted claims, taking out pooling, is $2,354,244. So your adjusted loss ratio would be 115.92%.
And then, does that include that September of last year?
It most certainly does.
The 569,000?
Yes.
So if we take that out, what's our adjusted pool going to look like?
Would get you to about 95.
Okay.
I didn't do exact numbers on that, but it gets you well under 100.
As long as we don't have any large claims.
Assuming that September is worse than the September that we've got coming up, so... Send out a memo, tell everybody to be healthy.
I was at a board meeting and there's a lot of people that they're at that 90%. They're at 70% for a lot of their years, and then they're at 90% for 1 year, and that allowed them to do the self-insured. Until we start hitting those numbers, we can't even look at that, can we?
I would be very leery of looking at self-funded with your current claims situation going on. Typically, when you want to jump off there is whenever you're having a really good time, you don't
right.
have any shock losses staring at you. That's typically a time when you want to seriously consider that.
Okay.
If you turn the page, I'll show you why. As you can see, there are several ongoing items and issues. Some of these actually, and we're going to go to the other report to see some of that, but we do have significant claims activity in several. We've had some cancers, some heart issues, some dependency issues, other things of that nature that hit.
Now, one of those has fallen off, has it not?
Actually, there's a couple. And if you want to just go, this other report, just the one pager,
yeah,
is where we take a look at that. If you look on the far left hand side, it has either an A or a T. A's for active, T's for terminated.
Okay.
So if you look at member number 3. With 136,000 in charges, they are no longer on the plan.
Okay.
More importantly, if you look at member number 5,
right,
they're no longer on the plan. Also, as I review some of the larger claimants, the ones over 100,000, some of those are still active. However, their dates of service are over a year old as far as when they went last for treatment. So that's almost as positive of a thing. I mean, obviously, hopefully, their condition is resolved. So those are things, obviously, we can go back to the underwriter and work on. But several of the members, we're trending better than we were. Obviously, we're still, you know, have some challenges here. But if we can get into or through September and get a renewal, we've got a shot at a much better picture than what we've had over the last several months. Members 3, 5, 18, and 24 have all terminated from the plan. And several of those have some pretty, anybody on this report has over $25,000 worth of claims. So with your blessing, what we'd like to do is wait, get through September, and then have Cox run the renewal so that we've got the best chance at the best one. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that still, even if you get down to a 95% loss ratio, with company administrative fees being about 17.65% of that, and then them looking at inflation for next year, we're still looking at a pretty good increase, even if we are able to get down into the 90s. Typically, healthcare reform would say, hey, an 85% loss ratio is kind of what you're looking for, and that's going to get you a 7 to 10% renewal. So if you're up in the 90s, obviously you can do the math. I want to give you sugar plums. It's just not nearly as dire if we go in with 136% loss ratio.
Last few years, we've been able to stick around that 8 to 12% range, have we not, for the last... You're thinking?
I think right now we've got headwinds. We need an awfully good September. And actually, August is not showing on this report either. So you've really got 2 months there that we would hope to have a good
keep on. We've been trending down pretty good.
Yeah. And again, those terminated members, a lot of times we can make an argument to have them throw those claims out altogether, do some other things. Right. And I, you know, will say Cox has been pretty fair with us. And so hopefully that trend will continue. Really all I have for the commission today, unless you have more questions for me.
I don't.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Liberty's Utilities Cultural Resources Survey Consent to Entry.
August 8, 2018, from our attorney, Mr. Elliott, and he's reviewed the request for consent to entry of the Liberty's Utilities to conduct a historical archaeological research survey with respect to the following parcels. I think he's approved all of them except one.
Wasn't there one that was going through a
family cemetery?
Family cemetery, yeah.
I think there's consent forms they need signed once we approve. Thank you. Do you know if he stated that on the he would recommend notifying Liberty Utilities that of the fact that the parcel was due to the county as a family cemetery? Do you know if we've notified them yet?
I don't. Okay.
So I'm fine with going ahead and doing the other three. Then we can notify them about that one. And then it goes on. Did you read it?
Yeah.
His recommendation? Okay. Then we can follow his recommendation.
That top one's the one he's concerned about. Right. Right. I have right here. That's the one we're not. Recommending. Oh, I'm sorry.
Move to approve the request for consent to entry by Liberty Utilities for parcel number 04-8.0-34-001-006-047.004, labeled as the Canning Factory Lot, as well as parcel ID number 17-4.0-18-002-002.040-001, known as Acacia Club Road, and parcel ID number 04-4.0-18-003-002-016.000, known as Mohawk Lane.
Second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I did all three. I did
not talk.
Got it. Intergovernmental Agreement, Airport, Western Taney County Fire Protection District, number 18-084.
Yeah, I've got a letter dated August 22nd, 2018, from our attorney. That he has drafted the intergovernmental agreement between Taney County, and Western Taney County Fire Protection District in order for the district to provide fire protection for the life safety services to the Graham Clark Field, Taney County Regional Airport.
We already have this agreement in place, don't we? It's just a, And then as far as the, do we already comply with all the fire code provisions? Okay. Yep. Move to approve the intergovernmental agreement by and between Taney County and Western Taney County Fire Protection District.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Now you're all alone.
I got one more.
I know. Davis Aviation Lease Agreement number 2018-2021-18-106. Is there any changes to it?
No changes other than instead of 1 year, the board recommends we go 3 years with it. Davis Aviation is okay with that also.
And this is the premises is used for a base for the helicopter tours and charter service, correct?
How long have they been there, do you know?
This would be their 10th year.
Has there ever been an increase in the...
I believe in the first year there was, but since then, no. They do lease some other space from us, though.
Do they? Does the board recommend any 2% increase over the course of any...
No, just a flat 1500.
With no increases ever?
We'll look at it in 3 years, but...
Move to approve the agreement by and between Taney County and Davis Aviation.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Intergovernmental agreement for use of shooting range. City of Branson, City of Hollister, State of Missouri Division of Corrections, Probation and Parole Office, Branson. Three agreements. I think these are pretty much just the agreements that we asked for a while ago to make sure everybody's on the same board with liability issues and everything else when using the shooting range. Move to approve the intergovernmental agreement by and between Taney County and the City of Branson. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Move to approve the intergovernmental agreement by and between Taney County and the City of Hollister.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And move to approve the intergovernmental agreement by and between Taney County and the State of Missouri Division of Corrections and P&P Office.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Do you want that?
Mutual cooperation agreement for operation of the 911 emergency telephone system, 2018, number 18-074. This is a two-party agreement instead of a three-party. Now just the city and a county agreement.
City of Branson and Taney County.
Yes. I have a letter.
Right.
From Mr. Elliott, our attorney, and he's revised the mutual cooperation agreement for 911 emergency telephone systems by and between the City of Branson and Taney County. Just again, it's a two-party agreement now.
We're going to have two separate contracts, one with each party as opposed to one agreement with all three.
Right.
This is the City of Branson one?
Correct.
And this has the way that it's going to be compensated spelled out. Have you seen it yet?
I don't really understand the commissioner.
I have it lined out here.
It's hot in here.
A little bit. If you want to look at my paper, I've got it kind of.
It says, first, the county will annually budget and appropriate a specified amount for funding the two-piece applications. So that's meaning, let's say we get $1 million out of that fund. We're putting $600,000 towards, just making these numbers up, $600,000 towards the two-piece apps, regardless of the percentage that's given out, correct?
Well,
that first statement says the County will annually budget and appropriate a specified amount of funding the two piece applications. So that's just a total pool of money that we're going to use to fund, not necessarily how much is given to each one.
Right.
Right?
You're going to budget annually X number
X
of
amount
dollars.
Of
correct.
And it says then the total number of terminated 911 calls from each piece app will be identified for the previous 2 years and added together.
Correct.
Then the number of terminated 911 calls at the city PSAP and county PSAP for the previous 2 years will be identified. Finally, the city calls will be divided by the total calls, and the number will be multiplied by the PSAP appropriation amount. The result equals the amount to be paid. So you're figuring out the percentage of how many terminated calls at the city and how many terminated calls are at the county.
Correct. You're figuring out the total terminated, total budgeted, and then dividing the...
You got your pool of money.
Yes.
And we're figuring out how many calls ended up at Branson and how many calls ended up at Taney County.
Correct.
Whatever that percentage is.
Correct.
We're multiplying by the number, and that's the percentage that we're divvying it out.
Correct.
Who wrote the language? Did our attorney write the language?
Yes, he did.
Do you know if they had a chance to look at it? I guess the other
thing
is...
They, as in who?
City of Branson.
We just received, all of us just received this today.
Okay. I was like, this is the first I've seen.
Yes.
Okay.
We all received this just today. I'll give you a copy.
So you guys will look at it, review it, after we look at it, after we, and then if you guys don't sign it, then we can figure it out from there. Is that fair?
The numbers that he used on this number three compensation in this is based on those numbers that we discussed during our last meeting. So
I just know you've always asked, hey, I just want to see at the table. So I just want to make sure you feel like you're getting your seat at the table.
Timmy shared this document, this contract,
ago. 2 hours ago when I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess my question to you mainly is we go ahead and agree to it, we approve it, send it on to you guys, and then you guys can look at it. And that way you're still...
And then...
If you guys don't agree to it, if the aldermen don't agree to it or however, then we figure it out from there. But as of right now, okay.
Correct. And I think we all understand there's a huge difference between me looking at it and the Board of Aldermen, the mayor signing, as your peer on that document.
Right. Right. That's what I just want to make sure I don't want you to feel like you're... Because, again, we got it same time. Move to approve the mutual cooperation agreement for the 911 emergency telephone system by and between Taney County and the City of Branson.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
Notice of renewal for electrical work services, Castro Electric Incorporated, number 18106.
I'm assuming we have a
letter from Mr. Elliott in there.
Renews the agreement for additional 1 year. Okay. Move to approve the notice of renewal for electrical work by and between Taney County and Castro Electrical.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We will recess until 2:30. And we'll be upstairs in the conference room for executive session.